America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we are now finished with any obstacles in the way of Chiefs training camp, which will start in less than a month. They're reporting in less than a month. And now at this point, the players are back home. They're continuing their workouts on their own time. They're getting their rest up before the grueling 3.5 weeks of training.
What are we talking about, Chris?
Camp.
They're in Cozumel.
Oh, yeah, they're getting their family vacations.
Yeah, I heard George, or not George Kittle, was at the Bustin' with the Boys crew because Kelce did like an appearance with them. Caleb Wan said, I don't know when to bring in guys. They thought about like the Beer Olympics they're doing, because he goes, you would think that right after OTAs and minicamp would be the time where guys would do things, but they all go on vacation now. Like, this is the big vacation time for NFL players. But you don't want any incidents. Like Isaiah Bugs that was on the Chiefs practice squad that everybody says the Chiefs have had a bad offseason because of a practice squad player doing things. But
oh, it's not just that. It's the entirety of their
the entirety of everything. But you know what? Just keep your nose clean until you get to St. Joe and get in that dorm room. I'm sure Coach Reed would appreciate that.
So we're about 2 months away from the start of the college football season. Probably a little bit less than that now. I haven't seen the exact week zero dates, but probably a little bit less than 2 months away from that. A month from now, we're going to do our We'll start doing our training camp preview, players to watch, battles to watch. And then after that, once we get to August, we're going to start doing previews for the position groups that you should be watching out for during the 2024 college football season. Both me and Bing are incredibly excited about this coming season. Still working on the watch list right now, players to watch at each position, especially positions of need. I think quarterback is going to be really interesting to watch out for. So we'll have that for you here in the next month or so. But we got some big questions coming out of mandatory minicamp.
Oh,
for
by
the Chiefs.
Way, real quick, it's August 24th is the first college football game.
Okay,
so that's pretty damn close.
So 2 months, less than two months now.
The Delaware State and Hawaii and Florida State and Georgia Tech. DJ Ugalele, who ended up at Florida State, in that game. So the 24th in Montana State, New Mexico, SMU, and Nevada. Then we have Thursday, August 29th as well. Went on this morning with Drew in his college football podcast, right? And he got the juices flowing, man, because he was asking about our podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, one of my favorite things and what Chris and I like to do is look at matchups and which players you should be watching in the matchups. Like, yeah. That's like one of the highlights of what we do. I love doing that.
So we will we'll be getting hardcore on that over the next – once we get in August, we're going to start previewing those positions, players to watch for, et cetera. I'm going to be scouring all of the different lists of prospects. Dane Brugler is going to put out his freaks list in a couple of months. That's going to be really exciting to take a look at because those are a lot of good gems for the draft. A lot of those guys who were ranked really high on that list ended up being taken very high.
And I bet we're still looking at receivers, too, like Emmanuel Buka and Luther Burden, even though it's you're probably not going to get him drafted that late. But because, Hollywood Brown's all considered, Red Beach said we could be gone after 1 year, so I don't think the Chiefs are done at grabbing wide receivers. I think we're in the same boat where
I don't think so either.
Second, third round receivers, I think, are going to be crucial this year.
I could see second day or early
third day for a wide receiver. I think that might be a Chiefs position. We'll look at that defensive line, too, because they brought him back this year, but next year is going to be open game, so that might be where the Chiefs go in the first round. Who knows at this point?
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of things to look out for, but we put together a list of questions coming out of mandatory minicamp, mainly pertaining around the young players on the roster. I think the first one is, should we be worried about Xavier Worthy's hamstring injury? Because he really has not participated that much in team activities since he sustained that hamstring injury. I believe that was at rookie minicamp, right?
It was at the original. Remember, he had dropped the pass, and that became the one that everybody talked about, which is everybody. Jamar Chase, his rookie year, was dropping everything in Cincinnati, right? And they had him catching the ball afterwards. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL, Jamar Chase is at this point. So here's the deal with Xavier Worthy, Chris. There's a couple ways to look at it. One, I'm excited to see what he can do because you and I both like Xavier Worthy and what he can do, that speed element. But the hamstring has been lingering, and I understand the Chiefs are going to take it slow with him. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're being cautious with him. But at what point, you've got to wonder, you want to see him at training camp because you have missed those valuable reps like he's got down at Camp Pat. That chemistry, because the chemistry with Mahomes and Hollywood Brown has been there. We've seen that. But what about the rookie with Xavier Worthy coming in here and getting that reps and, learning from a guy like Hollywood Brown that I think is a very similar skill set to what he has. But, you got to watch his injury, the hamstring, because they need him, Chris, as you and I talked about a couple weeks ago, that you think about the pressure on Xavier Worthy this year, especially if Rice was going to miss games. You're counting on him to be a big part of this offense. And again, Hollywood Brown's missed 8 games the last 2 years. You're going to be counting on him to be healthy and playing. So, yes, to me, that is something to watch.
I'm not worried because we haven't seen it in training camp or games.
2 weeks in the training camp, I'd get concerned if he hadn't practiced.
Yeah, if he has issues at that point, let's say he tweaks it early in camp, a la what happened with Kadarius Toney, where the very first play that he was involved in, he tore his meniscus and was out for a few weeks.
You still want to overcompensate it. You have the hamstring and you don't want to overcompensate it because that's where you get hurt.
Yeah.
It's when guys start overcompensating for the injury. I'm not worried about it because I do think they're taking it cautious with him.
Right.
But it is imperative to, you know, build that rapport with Mahomes and start getting understand when to break back on the ball and the, just the things you need to do it. If he was Hollywood Brown, been in the NFL for a couple of years, you don't really care about it. But being a rookie, it is important because there is valuable time that's been lost, you know, getting that in sync route running with the Mahomes.
Yeah, like I said, if this was like, if 2 months from now he's got that problem.
Yeah.
Then yeah,
it's wait and see, but
definitely something to worry about.
It's something to watch. Something to watch.
Right now, it's not something I think you panic over just because of how early it is. It is disappointing to see him miss out on important reps, but I mean, this is a kid that I'm pretty sure is going to be spending a lot of time working with Mahomes anyways to build chemistry up. And again, I think this year, I think he's going to be very involved in the offense. I don't think it's going to be a situation where he's going to be like the team's going to be dependent on his play. They've got other receivers on their roster that they can rely on in spurts here and there. And I think that collection, you'll be able to work around any issues that you have. So yeah, it's definitely disappointing for him, but it's not the end of the world.
It's not
a point to panic.
But the thing is, you don't want to see if Rice is to miss 4 games and who knows when that is. And that the hamstring would, right. They're going to need him during that time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's something to watch. I'm not worried about it at this point. I know these things kind of linger, and this one seems to linger, but they are being cautious with it, which is fine. I don't really care about OTAs in minicamp. I mean, that's just glorified out there in shorts and throwing the football.
Yeah.
Do it training camp, much different.
Yeah, and so that's the reason why I'm not panicking about it. I know the people who didn't like the pick are using that as ammunition.
It's going to be ammunition for that. But just wait till you see what he can. He's a tough kid.
Yeah.
I mean, for being his size, like, he didn't miss games. I mean, he was a tough, tough player that would play hurt at Texas.
Yeah, for someone his size, he took a lot of hits, and he did not miss a whole lot of games.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that – and I think that he changes the offense a bit when he's on one side and Hollywood Brown's on the other and changes things for Kelsey.
Even if you could put
Noah
them both
Gray,
on the same side.
Jared Wiley, the rookie tight end, maybe all these guys, you know, going to be prominent parts of this offense.
You could put them on the same side and you could attack different types of coverages, like a lot of those like quarters coverages, cover three. They can like those two guys running like dagger routes against cover three. They will shred those coverages.
Well, Nico Romeo kind of was on the practice squad last year, went undrafted in 2023. Yeah. I mean, again, sometimes you got to reel yourself back.
He's a long shot.
Camp people, but
he's a long shot.
He's impressed people.
Yeah.
And not only that, with his return ability, too, because he was a very good returner in college. Back at Fresno State, he was very good at that. So we'll see what happens. But, Xavier Worthy, as you and I both think, he's going to be a – think about this. Chiefs did not draft a receiver in the second round, the third round. Xavier Worthy's it. Like, that was their first round selection, getting Xavier Worthy. So, yes, they're going to count on him.
The next question is pertaining to the left tackle battle that's going to continue to happen in training camp between Wanye Morris and Kingsley Suamataia. And this past week and a half or so, there was a lot of talk about the Chiefs potentially bringing in another left tackle just kind of as insurance. There was the talk with David Bakhtiari, the former left tackle for the Packers, because he had said, I think it was on a podcast, that you know, he wants to play with the Super Bowl MVP. And it's like,
When healthy, he's as good as it can be.
Yeah.
But, you know, you gotta watch
what is
the
he, like 31 or something like that?
You got to watch the health. Donovan Smith, same situation. Yeah. Very apt. And again, Donovan played on the team last year, so he knows the team. He won a ring with the Bucs. Has his play slipped a bit? Yeah. I mean, he's not the same player he was early on in his career, but he's still serviceable. A guy that if they're, you know, not Suamataia, they're not ready for him right in the beginning. Or
that's a good job there. You killed
it. Thank you, Chris. It's been a couple months.
Yeah.
Because I haven't just gone the Kingsley route, right? I will probably go Kingsley route a lot more than the Suamataia. But the bottom line is, you know, that competition. Now, they're saying it's Wanye's job at this point.
Yeah.
But again, I've heard that before.
That can change in training
camp. I remember training camp a couple of years ago, and Mitch Holta sitting there, and one of the training camp shows I did, and I think Dusty and I were doing it, and he sits there and says, I expect Trey Smith to be in here. Sure enough, first practice, Trey Smith's on that starting offensive line.
I also think that everyone kind of knew that Trey Smith was ready for that role. Yeah. I mean, what was it? Because I think we did something after that draft, and I remember both of us saying, like, watch out for Trey Smith. he might be a starter on this team.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just how good he was and the reason he slips all medicals. They, and the Chiefs usually shy away from some medical concern. They didn't with him, which is great because they thought, you know what? You talk to training staff and think, you know what? You take it slow with him. You know, we'll see what we can do. And they worked with Trey Smith. I think they did a great job with him.
So I'm not – I think at this point now, I think the boat is probably – the ship's probably sailed on you going out and getting a veteran tackle. We talked about this, like, before the draft. Like, if the Chiefs are going to do it, you know, maybe, like, in May after the draft. You had a month to let the draft settle, and you've done OTA. You started OTAs and whatnot. And if you don't feel comfortable with your left tackle spot, maybe you go get Donovan Smith and you bring him back, and then you figure things out.
Because last year was it was early on because Juwan came in here and they were getting in the mini camps going to put him over left tackle and that was quickly scrapped.
Yeah, they brought Donovan in, I think, in May, and at that point, by the time they got to mandatory mini camp, they had their idea was Donovan's going to play left, Juwan's going to play right. They, you know, obviously they initially thought Juwan was going to be the starting left tackle. Yeah. That didn't happen.
It was May 9th, but he knows the system and so. He didn't need to be in here in May.
And so, like, they had the opportunity. I think they had their opportunity to go get him if they really wanted to. And I think at this point now, with it being so – I mean, we're less than a month away from report day for camp. I think the ship sailed on that. I think the team is comfortable with either Somata'i or Wanye. And, I mean, unless some emergency situation happens – I kind of feel like you just stick with what you have, even if there is some uncertainty there, because the Chiefs have had uncertainty at the left tackle spot for the last few years, and it's happened to work out. And I kind of trust that they're going to be able to work past the issues that they would have with uncertainty.
It's going to be something to watch. And, you know, they're going to have to collapse. I mean, it would have to be a total collapse for Kane. They must be somewhat confident in it because they haven't made that move yet.
Yeah,
so they must be really, really relying on Kingsley. But it would have to be like an injury situation or just someone just doesn't get it. But Donovan Smith, I mean, if they bring him, they know what they got. But with Wanye and Kingsley, obviously there's a reason why they drafted Suamataia when they did, and they liked Wanye Morris. We'll see, but it'd have to be a historical collapse in training camp or a big injury for them to case of emergency, break glass and bring in Donovan Smith.
And that's what I'm thinking at this point now, too.
But he knows the system.
He knows the system, so you know that, like, he's going to be able to step in and play if he's in good shape and he's up to the task physically. I mean, like I said, I think at this point now, because you have not seen them make that move, I think they're pretty comfortable with what they have at left tackle. And they're like, hey, whoever the best man is, he's going to win that job. The next question. And this was actually a little bit surprising coming, you know, hearing the news coming out of mandatory minicamp. I think we may have underestimated the impact that Jared Wiley will have in this offense this year, man. At mandatory minicamp, he really established himself as a good third tight end option, a good red zone option. That was really kind of where he excelled. And he definitely showed that he's got some of that skill set that Kelce has that the team really kind of values. And so I'm not saying he's going to be like a major impact guy or anything, but like, don't be shocked if he ends up having the kind of impact that like Jody Fortson had in 22. Like, I think at this point now, it's not something you should count on, but it's something that you shouldn't be surprised if it happens.
Well, Sonny Dykes joined me and you, his head coach at TCU, you know, former coach of the year,
raved about
national
him.
Title. Raved about Wiley, especially in the red zone. Said they had trouble scoring in the red zone. You could count on Wiley. The one thing that stands out to me when he called us, and he'll be the third tight end. He'll say he's going to be behind Kelce and he's going to be behind Noah Gray. We know that. But we saw last year with Kelce, there was times he was on the sideline. Kelce even addressed it in his podcast.
Kelce hated it.
Like, hey, Jason was giving him crap again for being in Andy Reid's face and all that. And he's like, hey, I just got to get used to it, man, because there's a lot of packages and I'm not out there. Well, when he's not out there, guess who's out there? Last year was Blake Bell. Blake Bell was one, and Noah Gray. They were the two guys out there.
We hated it.
But now Jared Wiley. And listen, we've seen the explosive touchdowns he had against Baylor this year. The one thing about him is he catches the football. And he's also a very good blocker as well. So the 2 and the 12 and 13 personnel, the Chiefs can run with him. But yeah, Wiley is the guy that you and I liked him. But we were cautious with it. Again, I love the fourth round picks. I like him and I like Jaden.
Big fan of those picks.
I love what they did in the fourth round, but we were cautious. Like, we don't want to get all, you know, gung-ho about a rookie and everything like this, but there's a reason why he was selected. There's the reason why they saw Jared Wiley and said, we want him as tight end. Because, you know, they're thinking of future. Do I think this is Kelce's replacement? Again, you're talking about replacing the greatest tight end that ever played the game.
Right.
It's tough to do, man. It's just like, good luck to the next quarterback. I mean, good luck. I mean, because you're going to be compared to Patrick Mahomes. So good luck on that. But I do like what we're hearing from him. And then one thing that stood out the most when Sonny Dykes joined us in our draft coverage was the fact that Jared would see things on the field and he'd go to Sonny Dykes and he said, listen, a lot of players come and they tell me things, whatever, but he'd listen to it. And he's like, he's right. Like Jared Wiley would see the field, understand the protection packages and everything and come in with ideas for Sonny Dykes. See, I like that. The Chiefs, like Xavier Worthy's like this. They're cerebral guys that know the game of football, and I think that'll bode well for him in the future.
Yeah, I think that Wiley, like I said, and we've said this extensively since the Chiefs drafted him, let's not say he's the heir apparent to Kelce, because it's not fair to him, and that's crazy expectations here. But
when you compare somebody to the greatest,
yeah, so saying, when you compare somebody to that great, it's tough, and it's a lot of pressure to live up to, and it's one reason why I don't envy anybody that follows a great player like that. But when you watch him play on film,
yeah,
his style is Travis Kelce's style.
No, it is. And I'll never forget the night that Kelce was drafted. They have those media conference calls where you all chime in.
Yeah.
And one of the questions, I think it was me, I asked it, said, who do you compare yourself to in the NFL? And he said, Jeremy Shockey. And obviously, he surpassed that. And you can go a million different ways with Jeremy Shockey.
Oh, yeah.
But the bottom line is,
he was actually pretty accurate.
And I don't know if Wiley went to tight end university. I was trying to look at the roster and some of the time. I'm sure he did. I mean, when they held the Nashville last week, the tight end university, I'm sure he went because
the Chiefs
always bring a lot of those guys in.
Yeah,
but I didn't see the full roster of who they had for it. But he's one of the rookies I'm excited about. And, you know, the safeties, I'm like really excited about the safety. And Shamari Connor, who's already getting some run nationally.
You couldn't help yourself not bringing up Shamari Connor.
He's safety in the slot. I mean, you're going to get a lot of production on this guy. And you have Justin Reed back there to be kicking or play looking like he's going to be kicking. But Jaden Hicks going to fit right in there. You're getting Brian Cook back. The safety position for the Chiefs is no freaking joke, man.
Yeah, it's looking real nice.
And that's even with Edwards gone.
The,
you know?
The camp battles there are going to be really fun here in a month or so. But, yeah, like I said, I just reading the stuff about Jared White from like Pete Sweeney when he was out there mandatory, it was really exciting to hear because it's like, man, like this is a guy that we heard a lot of things about. This is a guy that you watch him on film and he compares very favorably to a Kelce. And it was just, it's like, it's nice to see him picking it up early.
Yeah.
Because then that means that he can have an impact long term, and that gives the Chiefs a really good advantage because now it's another weapon that they can put out there. And you know, early, you know, we've talked extensively about Rashee Rice's situation, probably going to get suspended. Well, what happens in that situation that helps the Chiefs out is if Wiley turns into a viable option, 12, 13 personnel is in the books now. That's something they can do. And they can run the football a little bit more effectively because you have more blockers out there. And now it's easier for you to keep Kelce on the field because he doesn't have to be a traditional blocking tight end. You can line him up wide. You can have just one wide receiver out there.
He's essentially your number one receiver, man. We talk about the number one receiver with this team all the time. It's Travis. I mean, I understand. It's a different position. It's being tight end, but he lines up more outside than any other tight end in the NFL, but essentially that's your number one receiver.
And that's one of the ways they can work around the issues that they would have with issues like if Xavier Worthy does have extended hamstring problems. If Rashee Rice does get suspended for a quarter or half of the season. Now you have an ability to play around that because you've got a good second, third tight end option who can be some decent wide receivers, be good run blockers, and that's going to cause some real issues for opposing defenses. The last question that we have, and this one's kind of gained some steam here in the last couple weeks, is about the Chiefs running back depth. Obviously, we know starting running back Isaiah Pacheco. Second running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who re-signed with the team this offseason. So now we get to that third running back option. Me and you advocated for them to draft one late, you know, third day, you know, Cody Schrader, Isaac Garrido, either of those guys we'd have been cool with. Mm-hmm. They did not do that. they opted to bring in. They obviously kept some of the guys in there, but they also went and brought in some undrafted rookies to compete for that third spot. I know the Carson Steele kid from UCLA.
Led the MAC in rushing a couple years ago before he transferred out to UCLA. Monty Bailey out of TCU.
Another guy.
People talk about his camp numbers and stuff like that, but you watch him on film, and he's much faster on film than you would think.
So they got some options at running back.
And the good thing is with this team is, for all intents and purposes, they're going to spread the ball a lot. They're going to be going downfield, which should open things up for the running game. Like last year, those safeties started creeping up and stuff because the Chiefs were not throwing deep. They didn't have the skill set to go throw deep, but now they do.
So now the question becomes,
which is why Worthy's important.
One, is there any concern about that third running back spot? Two, who would you say is the favorite there? I would say Denaric Prince is probably your favorite to go get that third running back spot.
He had the kickoff return lined up last year
until it didn't happen.
But he's got experience now with the team that won a Super
Bowl. And like, there were times where he flashed in preseason. He just didn't do it enough.
And he caught the ball a hell of a lot better than his numbers would indicate at Tulsa.
Exactly. So, like, that was one thing we heard about him was that one, he was, caught everything that was thrown at him in training camp. He just didn't pop in camp the way that he did on film. And then the other one is that comfortable? Like, let's say it ends up being Pacheco, Clyde, and Prince. Are we worried about that? I personally am not worried about the running back room because I like how the Chiefs handle their running back situation. And I don't think the Chiefs are that committed to the running back position to where they're going to ever commit a lot of resources to.
Playing behind Mahomes, the quarterback changes thing. And you brought up Carson Steele. They do like him. He's 6'1", 225. There's been talk about moving him to fullback.
Yeah.
He's
more of a fullback,
but
I think.
But, they went a year without the fullbacks.
But you know what, though?
They struggled on third and one, fourth and one. I mean, they struggled.
They did when they had a fullback, too. But
2 years ago, yes. But then the year before that, the Chiefs were actually good on third and one and fourth and one.
Yeah, that was
with a fullback.
Yeah, that was also when they had.
And then last year, it took a step back. But who knows? I mean, who knows what direction they're going to do? Are they going to do plays like that? Or is Carson Wentz going to come in there and run on third and one? Or they finally going to let Mahomes do it? We don't know what's going to happen.
I
doubt it's Mahomes.
I 100% doubt it's Mahomes. I would probably guess Jared Wiley or even Carson Wentz. Like Carson, because Jared Wiley's a former quarterback. He was originally a quarterback before he switched to tight end. Carson Wentz is a really big body guy, and it's not like Carson Wentz is going to play a whole lot this year. God forbid something happens.
When he was in Philly, he led the NFL in short yardage efficiency.
Yeah.
And this is before the tush push.
Yes. He was
6'5", 230 pounds.
When he was in Philly, he was incredible at throwing, running,
whatever he wants.
So, like, I think he gives you options there. There might be some plays where they do, where they act like they're going to line up for a sneak and then he throws it on like a quick
out route.
You just
don't want when he goes in the game to be sneaking the football every time because it becomes, okay, we know what they're doing.
Exactly.
But so if he backs up and chucks it downfield, like Xavier Worthy or whatever.
Exactly. So I wouldn't be shocked if they put him in there on those short yardage situations just to kind of throw things off, even if they don't sneak. But I mean, the way I see it is I'm not concerned about the running. I think a lot of people are kind of creating a concern out of nothing. I mean, we're concerned about the third running back. This is an era where running backs are not that hard to find that are competent. Like, this isn't like 20 years ago where you needed a great running back.
I mean, Pacheco was a seventh rounder. I mean, it was so close to not even being drafted at all.
Right. And
he was serviceable.
Yeah, we see a lot of third day running backs go out there and turn into really good players in the league. So it's like, am I concerned if Clyde ends up having to carry the load? I know a lot of people hate on Clyde because he was a former first round pick.
They brought him back for a reason.
It didn't pan out, but like, there's a reason why they brought him back. He's really efficient when he touches the ball. He's just not always reliable.
I mean, the Chiefs know what they're doing. I mean, I give him 100%.
So I'm not sweating the situation there at running back. Like, if we're worried about the third running back on the roster, I don't think we have very many concerns.
That's right.
Like, to me, it just feels like people are reaching here, trying to find, because I'll say this is weird. It's a weird offseason. Because, like, generally when we go into the season, we're like, man, I wish they would have addressed this issue or that issue. I mean, last year we were sitting here like, man, I hope their gamble on running backs is going to pay off, because boy, it doesn't look like it's going to pay off right now.
Well, it's weird because when you think about camp battles, you know, rookies are a big part of that, you know, top five, you know, camp concerns.
Actually, it was wide receivers, not running backs.
Like Xavier Worthy. What are you going to get from Xavier? Kingsley, Sua Matia. We're going to be curious about that at left tackle. I mean, these are rookies, and we're curious how, and Jared Wiley.
Yeah.
Like these rookies could be staples for this football team that matter. I mean, none of them are life or death except for your left tackle.
Yeah.
That's the one that truly matters. Like Kingsley's development truly matters because, you know, with Xavier Worthy, he's a piece. Jared Wiley's a piece. Kingsley could be at, you know, every down what you're getting at left tackle from a rookie.
Yeah.
I just think the rookies will make an impact for this team, like Jaden Hicks at the safety position. I just, like Hunter Norzad and guys like that they drafted to be like the next Nick Allegretti, no. But the Jaden Hicks of the world, the Jared Wileys of the world, Xavier Worthy's of the world, the Kingsley Sua Matia, they're counting on these guys. They're counting on these rookies.
Yeah. The way I kind of view the issue is just like, I'm not the only position that I think we should be a little concerned about is left tackle, just because of the inexperience.
100%.
That's it.
100%.
I'm not as worried about the receiving core because I think they can work around it.
It's the blind side of your $500 million quarterback.
You can work out your, because again, 2 years ago, they worked around the fact that the receiving core sucked and they won the Super Bowl because they ran a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. I imagine if Jared Wiley continues the run that he's on, he's going to be in there a lot. And that means that you're going to be able to work around your issues with Rashee Rice getting suspended. If there's any injury concerns with Xavier Worthy that extend into the regular season, you can work your way around it.
Hey, and a lot of times, the Chiefs 2 years ago, that Eagles Super Bowl, they relied on rookies. Like I said, they have five rookie defensive backs playing that game. Five, the Fab Five, they all played in that game. And your leading rusher was a seventh-round pick. They relied on him because you can't keep being good every year like the Chiefs. They're kind of breaking.
They relied on a bunch of rookie DBs in the Bengals game in the championship game.
When you pay the amount, because at this point, you got to deal with what you're paying your quarterback. And you know what we've always said? If you pay the quarterback, and I love Kling's idea and all that, so you know, you can pay your quarterback whatever you want, doesn't count against your cap. Yeah. I personally think you should be able to pay a defensive guy too that doesn't count for the cap, offense and defense. But the bottom line is, if you're doing that, you got to draft well. Because in order to keep it up and go to six straight AFC title games and all this, guess what? You got to be good in the draft.
So, Chad Ryder from the NFL.com put out a list of 14 instant impact rookie newcomers. It's the 2024 All NFL rookie team, projecting 4 instant impact newcomers on defense/special teams. On the defensive side, he put edge rusher Jared Verse on there, which I expect him to be an impact guy for sure. He put Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida State that got a lot of hype after what he showed at the combine.
Oh yeah, but Jared Verse is a guy that you and I watched.
Actually, it wasn't even the combine; it was the Senior Bowl originally. And then it carried over into.
But Jared Verse was a guy that came in from a smaller college. Goes to Florida State, and we're real
struggles,
high on Jared Verse.
He struggled in the beginning.
I told you, watching Florida State, I was looking from the pop, and he wasn't. Then later on, he did. But I found it interesting, and I think he's going to be a good pro. And then, of course, Byron Murphy's on here from Seattle, and we like him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And then Dallas Turner, the edge rusher that the Vikings were able to get.
And I like him as much as anybody at the edge.
Yeah.
Dallas Turner.
Yeah. Then linebackers, they got Junior Colson for the Chargers. Your guy, you really liked him a lot.
I did.
Edgerrin Cooper for the Packers, from Texas A&M. Tommy Eichenberg for the Raiders from Ohio State, a guy who, I mean, he avoided those tests at the combine like the plague. Then for your DBs, you got Terrion Arnold for the Lions. Quinyon Mitchell for the Eagles. Again, I have no idea why the Raiders passed on him there at 13.
He's the one at Toledo that all the corners, I like him better than anybody.
Yeah, me too. And he blew up on the draft charts after the Senior Bowl. And then when he ran, what was it, like a 4.29 or something like that?
Quinyon Mitchell, at the
combine. He solidified his spot there as the top corner in the draft, but he got taken 9 spots later than he should have been. Javon Bullard, safety for the Packers out of Georgia, and then Cole Bishop for the Bills, safety out of Utah. 4-3-3. So, yeah, still a great 40 time.
Who cares?
And then on special teams, they got Daquan Hardy, running back for the Bills from Penn State. They got Cam Little, the kicker out of Arkansas for the Jags, and then Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa for the Bears. One name that I'm surprised, I can't say I'm surprised, but one name that jumps on, that is not on this list, that I think a lot of people are going to kick themselves over is Jaden Hicks. Because I've talked about this since day 3 of the draft. I'm a huge fan of this kid. He's massive, 6'3", like 215, 220. He's basically a linebacker, like a little bit smaller version of a linebacker. This guy hits. He plays great short coverage. This guy can blitz. He does everything you want in a strong safety. And, you know, I just look at what he could do as that third safety in the offense and the defense this year. And I think that's a kid that you're not going to hear a lot of talk about him early in the season, but I think he's a guy that could establish himself as that third safety, and he could get some playing time on this roster. They might even go with the four safety approach and have him play like that third safety, and then have like Tremori Connor play slot corner as opposed to playing a traditional safety.
Now, his offensive guys writer did Caleb Williams. I mean, of course, yeah. We can't wait to watch see what he can do. Yeah. Trey Benson, that running back from Florida State that you and I both liked quite a bit, was one of them. Ray Davis out of Kentucky. He's a big bruising
short
running back
in
Buffalo.
He's stocky. He's got a lot of mileage on him, though.
Marvin Harrison Jr. I think this is a wide receiver draft. Like, this is a wide receiver draft. And you know who else he's got on here? Xavier Worthy. Mm-hmm. He's got Marvin Harrison. He's got Xavier Worthy.
I think some people are a little bit too hot on Worthy. Like, I think I think DraftKings originally had his receiving yards over total receiving yards over under at like 850 or something like that, and then it dropped to like 725 because people were hammering the under. That's a little high to me. I like Worthy. I think he'll have an impact this year. I don't think he's going to be an 800 yard, or he might come close, but I don't think he's going to be 700
yards. I think his receivers are going to be fun to watch, man. Like A.D. Mitchell, I can't wait to see what, because he's got a chip on his shoulder from where he was selected.
I'm excited to watch Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams, yes.
He got some weapons, man. Dude, the Bears are going to be fun.
I know Dunze is a wide receiver. Yes. I like a ton.
The Bears' defense is going to be trash this year, but their offense is going to be a lot of fun.
I think within
to watch.
2 years, we're talking about Dunze being a top 5-6 receiver in the NFL.
I think top 10 for sure within a couple of years. We'll see about like top 5 and whatnot, because I mean, there's some really good receivers in the league right now. But yeah, I definitely think within the next couple of years.
Keon Coleman, Buffalo, because he's such a personality. Yeah. Like, did they make the right decision? That's going to be something to watch.
I'll say this.
They passed on A.D. Mitchell, too.
If Xavier Worthy pans out and Keon Coleman doesn't.
Thanks, Buffalo.
You know how mad those fans are in Buffalo. They're already perpetually angry at the team anyways. But imagine how bad you're going to feel. Yeah. Especially if Worthy turns out to be a great player. Yeah. And Keon Coleman eats his way out of the league. He ends up one Popeye's biscuit away from a tight end. If that ever happens, I'm going to tell you this right now. Man, Bills fans are going to, they are never going to let the organization, the Pegula family, forget that. I'm going to tell you this right now. Like, that one is, they were already mad about the trade anyways before we knew anything about who they were going to pick. We know anything about how these guys are going to do. But if Worthy turns out to be great, there's going to be a lot of anger up there in Buffalo. Oh,
this is 100% who they're watching.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna, like I said, we're less than a month away from training camp. I'm really excited about this time here. This past weekend, I was sitting at home on Saturday, and I was just like, I came to the realization. I was like, you know, I'm ready for football now.
So am I. Luther Burden, I've been watching him a lot from Missouri. Like, he's gone for third mocks. I'm looking at all these mocks. Third, fifth, it's 25th. I mean, he's been all over the board.
All over the place. And this is the reason why, like, mocks right now don't matter. Yeah. Because
you got to prove it, man.
You got to watch it. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I think Burton's going to be a top 10 pick.
I do, too.
I think he's going to be a top receiver taken. Maybe Travis Hunter has something to say about that, but I think Burton's better than Hunter. But, man, I'm going to tell you this, man. Like, I'm ready for football. I've been ready for like a week, almost for like, actually, it's not a week net. Now it's like 4 days. So I'm getting excited, going to start grinding some film on some of these top guys here as they go into the 24 season.
Already went and got my mags.
Yeah, I actually am kind of thinking about going and get one of those.
It's just fun, man. And I know you can do it on your phone.
I'm gonna make the trip over to Barnes and Noble over there at TCP.
Just thumbing through it, man.
Yeah, I might go do that.
I'm sitting there looking at the this morning in the Big 12 and just like seeing Arizona and Arizona State.
It's weird. It's that part's weird. Seeing like Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado's back in it now. That part's really weird.
There's another guy too that I really like, that receiver, Teterol McMillan. He's 6'5" at Arizona.
Yes.
Monster year last year. We'll see what he runs. See, you know, is he the next Keon Coleman or is this guy? I mean, everything I've seen from this McMillan, like, that's a very interesting pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm loving these receivers.
There's a lot of guys that we gave you a little sneak preview of our receivers to watch.
Yeah, man.
Give you a little sneak
McMillan's
preview.
McMillan's going to be on there.
Give you a little sneak preview of guys to watch. So we're really excited here. We'll probably be back. We'll be back to give you a preview for training camp here in a few weeks and get you caught up on the battles you need to watch out for, the young players that you need to watch out for as the Chiefs get ready to go into their 2024 campaign. And then once we get to August, we're going to start previewing the players, the position in each of the position groups you need to be watching out for the 25 draft, for the Kansas City Chiefs. So make sure you stay locked and loaded. Make sure you subscribe, download, give us all the 5-star ratings you can. We appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to us. For Jay Binkley, I'm Chris Inocero, and this has been the Character Concerns Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.